Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour 3, G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. It's a proper Cowboys Monday here in the G-Bag Nation. But Chris Young's coming up in 15 minutes. We'll talk with the Rangers president of baseball operations about what's gone wrong here. 7 losses in a row, 2 seasons in a row without the playoffs following the World Series. We'll get CY's thoughts on what's next and where they go from here coming up in about 15 minutes. Here's Wolchuk with your football fix.
All right, the injury news. Nick Bosa, torn ACL, done for 2025. So that's a big loss for the Niners. We've got Chargers running back Najee Harris, official. He's torn his Achilles. He is out for the season. So he's able to battle back from the firework explosion in the eyeball. He comes back. He's okay. And then now we get the Achilles. That is a big loss to the Chargers rushing attack. But I guess they got a Marion Hampton. They might be okay. And then the other news of note in terms of injuries, we know CeeDee Lamb expected to miss 3 to 4 weeks. That's courtesy of Todd Archer. And James Conner has suffered a season-ending ankle injury for the Arizona Cardinals. So Trey Benson, their second-year running back out of Florida State, who I was a fan of. We'll see if Trey Benson can end up taking over that backfield and helping out Arizona. That was a tough loss for them against San Fran. Mac Jones, 2-0.
That's who they wanted in the first place. They didn't want Trey Lance. They wanted Mac Jones. They got shamed that...
They got shamed,
and they got shamed into thinking that Mac Jones shouldn't have been taken, second or third overall?
Third overall. Thankfully, they would not have come up short if they hadn't moved those draft picks and drafted Trey Lance. They'd be sitting in the number 6 club as well.
Mm. Niners fans have to be sick to themselves anytime they think about that trade.
Gosh, yeah. Of course.
And how much they gave up for Trey Lance.
Yeah, now no Bosa. Hey, the Niners are sitting pretty right now at 3-0, but we'll see.
What move did they make? Awesome.
Did they go get an edge?
Maybe they try and trade for Trey Hendrickson.
Ooh, there you go.
There you go.
But they've had a bad run of trading for Treys.
That's true.
Maybe this could be a get right Trey trade.
I think Christian McCaffrey's if you're projecting ahead, he's going to have the most touches anybody's ever had in the entire NFL.
Yeah, he's on pace because it's like, I mean, Pearsall's done some things for him. But without Kittle, without Ayuk, you're just kind of looking around going, sorry, Christian.
Very limited.
Ball's yours again.
They are very, very limited right now. There were big winners, I mean, really all over Chicago yesterday, especially Caleb Williams. I had this stat on the post-game show, but it's still just gross as hell. Caleb Williams posted the second game this century by a Bears quarterback with 4 passing touchdowns, no turnovers, no sacks taken. The only other one, we got to go back to their Super Bowl
Rex
year.
Rex Grossman, right?
2006, yeah. Sexy Rexy Grossman.
That is hilarious.
What the hell?
I can't believe they allowed that to happen yesterday.
Yeah, it's bad.
I can. I think we can, right?
I guess we can.
Yeah. We can.
Yeah,
let's not, act like that was a shocker.
No, it's just... When you put it into perspective like that, though, just the miserable...
I mean, not having sack him one time...
Your offense didn't take advantage of their bad defense.
That's more surprising.
That should be your surprising element of this thing.
That was surprising.
It's not that the Cowboys made that quarterback look great. It's the fact that their offense made their defense look great.
Yeah, but it's still just the thing of Donovan Wilson's going to be playing deep at times. Why are we doing that? Or it's 3rd and 2 and our corner's going to be 15 yards off the receiver. It's like
ridiculous.
Just little 7. Crap like
1,
that.
7.1, sir. Come on. Give him a little credit.
Not on one of those plays.
7.1 and 5.5 of separation downfield.
Unreal. 3rd and 2 and I can't find where Diggs is at the start of the snap. Mm.
Yeah. Single high with Donovan Wilson as well. I don't think this team has a chance of winning a game until CeeDee Lamb comes back.
They got to make some big changes. Wanya Thomas did get some playing time at the end of the game.
And then they took him off the field.
They needed to just be playing Wanya and Malik Hooker.
Well, they took him off. I believe when it was the Moore touchdown. He was playing up until
Wilson came in.
And then Wilson came in for like two snaps after that. Like Thomas had actually come down in the box, made some plays, was kind of physical.
If they were allowed to play with 12 defenders, would they still be the worst defense in the league?
With the way that they're rushing the passer right now, maybe. Yeah.
I think they rushed five
in that first drive.
Where would you play the 12th defender?
Probably at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, probably to get another edge rusher.
They've tried to rush guys and they can't get five home.
No, I know.
Devin Clowney is going to be active, Brian.
What?
Don't worry. Clowney's coming.
Clowney be like playing with 12 guys.
Overshown, just a couple weeks away.
Game wrecker. Bland around the corner.
Oh, yeah.
Just wait for the meat of the
schedule.
Josh
Butler, Savone Revel.
We're going to get our horses back.
Things going to get right now. We're going to be living just like last year with Zimmer fixing this thing. In Flus we trust, baby. In Flus we trust. How about this wild stat? Sam Munson, one of Brian's favorites.
He loves me.
According to NFL Pro, Dorrance Armstrong is leading the NFL in both pressures and pressure rate through 3 weeks. Dorrance Armstrong.
So they knew getting rid of Fowler was the right thing? Is that what we're saying?
I don't know.
You see Washington play, he's a dang good player.
He is good.
And he's strong, too. It's not like he was that lean, situational pass rusher when he was with the Cowboys. He's an every down player.
Dan Quinn's got him rolling. Now, we had free wieners for everybody. Ahead of Sunday's showdown with the Cowboys, the Wiener Circle, a Lincoln Park neighborhood hot dog stand in Chicago, said they're going to give free hot dogs if Caleb Williams tossed a quartet of touchdowns.
Wow. They must have known something.
Well, he did. They said
they weren't surprised when they were giving out those free hot dogs.
Surprise. Congrats, everybody. Caleb Williams said, enjoy the hot dogs.
This is a promotion that they knew Dallas was coming to town.
What is this place called? Circle Wiener?
Wiener Circle.
Okay.
The Wiener Circle.
Wiener Schnitzel.
The Wiener Circle.
Didn't you guys get sick in Oxnard and Wiener Schnitzel?
That was a really bad time.
It's one of the worst decisions I've ever made.
That's one I don't think I'm going to circle back to.
No, not circling back to that wiener.
No. Let's go to Chris Jones. This was post-game yesterday. Chris Jones, Kansas City Chiefs defensive tackle. Who?
That's what I said.
He's going to do that with every Jones.
I like it. It's a good bit there, Brian. And it's impressive. I think people like it on the text, too. Who? Chris Jones?
It's Mike Jones, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You tell me, man.
All right.
You're locked in.
They get the win.
I am a locked-in guy.
They're booing Russell Wilson. They want Jackson Dart. And I guess Chris Jones has been trying to get him some Russell Wilson jersey action for years. And well, Melissa Stark asked him about it on Sunday Night Football in the postgame.
All right, you told us that you have asked Russell Wilson multiple times for his jersey, to do a jersey swap, and you've never gotten one. Did you ask him again tonight?
I don't even want it. It's all good. I don't want it. Hey, you know, over time you kind of understand that now I don't even want it. It's love and war.
You guys are on to the Ravens.
It's love and war.
On to the Ravens.
So is it because, like, Russ, if he's not playing the Cowboys, just still sucks? Or just him denying, it's like, now I just hate you as a human being?
Yeah, I think that's where this was all stemming from, is just, like, you've denied me so many times now that I just simply don't want it.
Yeah.
But it is incredible to see Russell Wilson's performance last night compared to what he had just a week prior.
Yeah. It's terrible.
It's going to be record-setting days.
Yeah,
just average to below average quarterbacks.
He was the first quarterback in NFL history to throw for under 200 yards and no touchdowns in one start, then throw for 450 plus yards in his next start, then throw for under 200 yards and no touchdowns again in his next start. That is awful.
Cowboys are the get right team, man.
Yep. I mean, get ready for October 26th when Bo Nix gets to pretend he's an all-pro quarterback.
Bo Nix is going to look great.
Shano's going to light this thing up.
Oh, yeah. Cortland Sutton, Marvin Mims.
The Cowboys defense is going to make other fan bases delusional about their quarterback.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
He finally figured it out. Like, the Giants should have started Jackson Dart as a confidence game last week.
They should have. They would have just passed the torch over. That's the new franchise guy.
Yeah.
Dable could save his job if he played the Cowboys every week. Aaron Donald is going to become the 11th Pitt player to have his number retired. The three-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year is going to get his number 97 honor during the Panthers game against the Fightin' Irish in Notre Dame on November 15th.
Do you have a list of them?
Of all 11?
Yeah.
It might say it on here. I can try and look. Yeah, I got them.
Marino, okay. Dorsett, Marino, Fitzgerald.
Marino, Dorsett. Yep. Hugh Green?
Well, it only gave me Marino, Dorsett, and Fitzgerald, among others.
LeSean McCoy.
But I can find it. You think LeSean McCoy's got it?
Hugh Green's involved here. I think Jimbo Covert's involved. Jimbo Covert, maybe, with the tackle?
Marshall Goldberg, you said Joe Schmidt.
Joe Schmidt was the Detroit linebacker back in the day.
Mark May.
Mark May.
Jimbo Covert's on May. Here. Yeah. Yep, Jimbo Covert's on here.
Okay. Who else you got?
Bill Frelick.
Oh, Bill Frelick. I forgot Bill Frelick. 79, I think, was his number.
Mike Ditka. And Hugh Green. You're right about Hugh Green.
And Hugh Green. Okay. I got a couple.
I'm more of a Hugh Grant guy myself.
I know you were.
But I like rom-coms.
Do you like Two Guys in a Funeral? What was that thing called?
Notting Hill. He's a big Notting Hill.
What was that thing? Two funerals and a wedding?
2 weeks notice?
Was it two funerals and a great movie. Two weddings and a funeral?
Yes, Two Weddings and a Funeral, I think, is exactly what it was.
I missed that one.
All right, let's go to the overlapping.
You call yourself a rom-com guy.
The overlapping podcast.
Once again, just BS.
I was out on Hugh Grant. They did The Man Who Went Up a Hill and Came Down a Mountain.
Oh, it's so funny. It's clever.
The worst movie ever.
Really? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
The man who
went up a hill and came down a mountain?
Yeah, there was some sort of a town debate on whether it was a hill or a mountain. It had to be a certain height to be considered a mountain.
Good Lord.
And he had some sort of way of measuring it. I think there was romance mixed in. It was just atrocious.
Yeah, wow. Julia Roberts in it doing something.
Watch. Yeah, yeah.
Acting as a famous
Julia Roberts
actress.
Annette Bening. All right, let's go to primetime. He was on New Heights, and he had some clarification to Shador and the Ravens rumors that came out a couple weeks ago, but I want you to really pay attention to the end of this clip, and the overlaughers are at it again.
Oh, no. Damn it is, because this was all over the media, because I know y'all keep it a buck. That's why I love y'all to life.
Yes.
They made a big deal out of Philly called us on draft day.
Okay.
They didn't mention that. I just let a cat out of the bag.
I didn't know that. Yeah, okay.
Who was it? Baltimore. And
I heard
Browns.
This, yeah.
In the Browns. They forget. I know I played for Baltimore, so me and Ozzy are cool. So we understood that whole conversation, and he wanted to talk to Shador as well as you want to talk to me. And I put Shador on the phone, and Shador, I don't want to say how it went, but how in the world can somebody fault him for saying or thinking, why in the world would I go back up Lamar for 10 more years?
For sure.
I've never sat on the bench and said, well, I learned a lot today.
That is a great quote. God, that is a good quote.
That is an all-time overlap from Jason Kelce there.
That was
I mean, he went full, like, I mean, it was bad.
Yeah.
I think he needed a way out of the discomfort that he was feeling because I don't think he agreed with the Sanders decision outside of the interview.
No, outside of, once you're in the fifth round and the Ravens want to take you, Lamar's had a history of getting banged up at times. Like, that's a great spot for you to be in. You could go out, show your stuff. You're playing for a good team. Maybe somebody else trades you. They want you to be the first round pick. I think big picture, that was probably a poor decision. I'd rather be in Baltimore than in Cleveland. But it was interesting that Filthy called. And was, poking around at maybe drafting Shador Sanders.
That would have been a good opportunity, I think, because I don't know how long Jalen Hurts is going to be good. Obviously, as a pocket quarterback, leaves a lot to be desired. The injuries, the legs, but going to Cleveland, I think, is the ideal thing. And I love the kid's attitude. You know, every time Shador Sanders does an interview, I'm like, man, this kid has got so many, quality traits, and he's taken everything in stride. I don't know how the narrative ever got out that he was disrespectful or doesn't appreciate his opportunity. Like, he's going through, I think, the perfect attitude.
Yeah, and they're really, I don't know what's going on with him.
I saw a quote from him the other day where he talks about he's a scout team quarterback.
He likes having six games instead of one. Yeah, so he's got a game every day of practice.
He's got a game every day.
It's a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought he was second best quarterback in that draft.
Let's step aside. We got CY coming up next here, the Chris Young Show on your home of the Rangers, 105 through the.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan. Yeah, buddy, it's time for the Chris Young Show here on your home of the Rangers. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. Never an out-of-pocket cost. Only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. The Chris Young Show brought to you by Anheuser-Busch and PlayScore. And Chris Young joining us now here on The Fan. Good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Hey, guys. I'm all right. How are you all?
Yeah, about the same. Let's talk about what's on deck here. What are you looking at these last six games, and what are you hoping to see?
Well, obviously, I want to win all six games, and I think they are important games for two reasons, the first of which is it's really important for us to finish above 500. I think in spite of everything we've been through this year, we can finish above 500 and look at the season and, in some ways see how close we were and other ways say, okay, we've got to be better. I think that's an important benchmark for us to get above 500 and finish strong. And then secondly, we're playing Cleveland the last three games and they're playing for something. And we have an obligation to the league to give our best effort to make sure that we have an impact on their pennant race and that we give it our best. So, those two things are very important to me, and I want to go out and play with fight and hunger and finish strong here and end on a high note.
What would you do differently if you look back in the last 6 months? Anything?
Well, we haven't done a full review yet, and there's a lot of things that we will conclude that we should have and could have done differently. I think it really starts with the offense. I think the offensive underproduction this year across the entire team is something that has been alarming and something that we've got to get back to correcting. And, the pitching was phenomenal. It really start to finish. It's been very, very good. But the offense, especially early on, underachieved. And there's no doubt that we didn't win games early in the season that we should have won. And so how we correct that in terms of personnel, hitting philosophy, changes that we need to make in terms of the style of play that are going to lead to producing more runs, it's going to be critical for our success moving forward. And so I'll start with that. But there's going to be a much deeper review and analysis that we will conduct upon the conclusion of the season, and at which point, in a few weeks, I'll have a better answer for you.
I always say that I love knowing Chris Young, World Series champion GM, is at the helm here. I love how you've built a great pitching staff and the starters and the bullpen and all that. Are you thinking that maybe we take a little bit out of the jar for pitching and throw it towards hitting, or going into 2026 off season, what are you willing to sacrifice to make sure your offense is better?
Well, ideally you'd have both. And I felt like we should have had both this year. I mean, I really, just being very candid and honest, I thought our hitters were more talented in the way they performed. And so I don't see the reason we can't have both. And I don't think we have to take a step back from the pitching to take a step forward on the hitting side. So the question is, what do we need to do to get the best out of our guys so that they can perform at the levels we believe they're capable? And I think it starts with that. So I don't think it's subtracting from the pitching staff. I think it's really, and I said this last year, it's getting the best out of our own guys. And we've got to make sure we do that. And we did not do that well enough this year.
Do you expect to see Semien or Seager before the season ends?
At this point, I'm not sure it makes sense to rush either one of those back. Final determination has not been made on either player, but I know they've both been fighting hard as we've been in a pennant race to get back. But There is risk associated with an early return for each of those players, and I'm not sure at this point it makes sense for that. So I think at this point we'd like to play more cautiously and make sure that those guys are healthy to start the off season so they can have good off seasons ahead of them.
Is there any similar thought process with DeGrom and maybe he's made his last start?
Jacob's going to make another start. He wants to make another start. He feels good physically, and we think it's important for him, you know, for two reasons. One, it would be the 30-start mark for him, which I think is a great accomplishment. It's such a win. Jacob has had a tremendous year, and we had said to our fans at the beginning of the year that Jacob DeGrom would be making 30 starts this year. We'd all be thrilled. So mm-hmm. I think for Jacob to have that last start and to finish on a high note, he wasn't happy with his last start. He wants to go out on a win. It gives him another chance to do that, and we're excited to see him out there one more time.
Chris, do you have any indication what Bruce Bochy might be, his plans at the after this season?
No, we have not discussed that, and as the season winds down here, we will get into those conversations, but that's not something neither one of us have been focused on at this point. It's really how to get this team into the playoffs, and obviously this last week has been a real gut punch to all of us.
Chris Young here with you on 105.3 The Fan.
Looking at a guy like Josh Smith, how would you characterize his season, and what have you learned about him and maybe his role moving forward?
Well, you know, I don't want to make firm assessments, you know, based on the last several weeks. There's no doubt Josh has struggled in the second half. We know he's a really good player. We've seen it in the first half, but, you know, last year he also struggled in the second half. So we have to determine whether that's overuse and overexposure or is this just something we need to change in terms of the way he's training and the way he's deployed throughout the season so that we can keep him fresh and keep him strong to have a good second half. But, you know, he's a critical part of our team, and you know, to see him struggle the last few weeks has been tough. We've needed him to perform, and it hadn't been there. And, you know, we've got to find a way to make sure he can have a great season start to finish.
You mentioned the gut punch over the last seven games after that winning streak. What happened there? Did the dam break a little bit on you?
Well, you know, one, and going to Houston, New York, we're playing two pretty good teams. We won the first two in New York and then had a tough loss Sunday and then went down to Houston and, you know, played a really good team and a tough place to play and played it with, you know, kind of a depleted group. And at some point, you know, while these young guys have played so well, at some point, you know, you can only rely on them so much. And we just kind of got cold. From an offensive standpoint, and our starting pitching wasn't as sharp as maybe they've been all year. But, you know, as good as the starting pitching has been, you want to afford them a little bump in the road at some point during the season. And unfortunately, it came at a critical time. But the reality is this season didn't come down to this last week. We had ample opportunities throughout the year to really establish ourselves as a really competitive winning team. And we just didn't do that, especially in the first half of the season when our guys were healthy. We didn't build the cushion. We didn't build the lead. We didn't perform at our expectations. And so, you know, when we did sustain the injuries in the second half, especially here in September, you know, it thinned us out. And while those guys played well for a period of time, you know, you can only sustain that for so long without your big boys. And I think that's what we ran into.
We've got some listeners that are texting in and are wondering if you could give us any clarification on if the team is indeed in the luxury tax, and how realistic should fans' expectations be for how aggressive you're going to be able to be this offseason?
Well, we haven't discussed that with ownership yet in terms of you know, our ownership was very comfortable in going over the luxury tax again this year to be able to compete and compete for a championship. And at the deadline, we made some moves to take on money and put us right up against the luxury tax. We don't have the final calculations, but, you know, I think independent of where we land this year, my guess is that, you know, we're probably not going to be at the same level payroll-wise moving forward. But that's okay. We've got a very talented group of players, and they're teams that are winning with payroll, and our expectation is that we'll be able to do the same. So, you know, our ownership has been tremendous in giving us the resources we've needed to be successful. And you know, I can't complain about any of the payrolls that we've had. It's been at the top of Major League Baseball over the last couple seasons. And, And, you know, we're going to have to find ways to win, you know, without spending money constantly, because it's, you know, the last 2 years have proven it doesn't guarantee success.
Do you envision making more of a priority when it comes to, like, the closer role?
Well, you know, you've asked me about the hitting and now the closing. So, I mean, it sounds like we've got, you know, the closing will be determined by what the other needs are. I mean, we, you know, I think the pitching was relatively good this year. I think our team ERA was towards the top of the league, if not at the top of the league. So if you're asking me where the season went wrong, I would not say closing would be at the top of the list. So, you know, but, you know, from a fan's perspective, look, I'd love to plug every hole. But, you know, is that possible? You know, it may be, it may not be. But I was very proud of our pitching this year, and I wouldn't say this season came down to a closer by any means.
But you mentioned the spending will be less. Does ownership feel like the window isn't as open as it was?
I think it's wide open. I mean, I think you look at our division, I think it's wide open. I think you look at the young talent we have, and I think that you look at the way we played in September, you know, with young talent, I think it's proof that it doesn't – winning is not necessarily correlated to spending. So I think that's good examples of, you know, what a team can do when, you know, when you play the game the right way, when you go out and you compete and you have hungry players. And so, you know, we're going to examine it from all angles and determine what the best next steps are to get this team back to the playoffs moving forward. But we have heavy investments in a number of players, and, you know, the payroll is not going to be at the bottom of the league. I can promise you that. But we also have to evaluate, you know, where things are and what's best moving forward and how to create some flexibility and be able to reallocate resources and give these young guys opportunities.
Well, thanks for all the hard work and the urgency and the care that you put into making this team as good as it can be. And thanks for being awesome with us all season long, win, lose, or draw, CY. I can't thank you enough.
Well, look, guys, I mean, I tell you, I'm as disappointed as anybody in the outcome of the season. I had high expectations. I thought on paper we were one of the best teams in the American League, but it didn't come together this year. I'm very frustrated by that. But, you know, I speak for our entire front office and organization when I say we're fully committed to figuring out how to get this team back to the playoffs, because this team, this organization is a great organization. Our fans deserve a winning product and a playoff caliber team every year. And we came up short this year, but we're going to get back to work and figure this out.
Can't wait to see what you do next, CY. Give him hell. We'll be pulling for you.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
There
bye-bye.
He goes. Chris Young, bye-bye, sir. Brought to you by Anheuser-Busch and by PlayScore. Coach Shoddy talking at his presser after the Cowboys fall to the Bears. We'll get some takeaways from that in addition to the finest coming up at 5 o'clock, and we're back here to the G-Bag Nation on 105.3.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks to Chris Young for joining us. Brought to you by Anheuser-Busch and PlayScore. He said either way, they are not going to spend as much coming up this year. So I don't know to what extent that is, but I do feel like this thing might be over. Window might be closed. Their farm system is mid. ESPN has it 17th. MLB Network last update was 26th. That was mid-August. So just over a month ago, I don't know what their path to victory is if you're depending on the young guys getting significantly better. I mean, I like Hillman. I like Freeman. I like Josh Young. I think Wyatt Langford is a multiple-time All-Star in the making, but that was tough, right? Right smack dab in the middle of that interview. you know, he brought up or Zach asked him about the luxury tax situation, said we haven't got the final numbers on it, but either way, we are not going to spend as much. That hit me like a ton of bricks, Woolchuck.
Yeah, I mean, you don't love to hear that. I do think he makes a decent point. Like, they spent the last couple of years and they didn't get the result. So can you find a way to hit on some lesser players that end up overperforming their value? And we have seen some clubs do that. I think that when you're looking at, you know, so like Cleveland's made a run here and they've got some guys that have surprised. I think the Cubs certainly have some players that, you know, weren't necessarily big free agent signings that have stepped up for them. So like, I can understand the logic there. I still think, I guess what you're feeling really good about is the pitching. Like, you're going to have DeGrom, you'll get Eovaldi back. Jack Leiter proved he should be part of the rotation. We'll see what they do with Merrill Kelly, Tyler Mahle. And then hopefully you get Cody Bradford back. But the offense, they're going to be a big turnover. Like, I don't think Adolis Garcia is going to be here. I don't think Jonah Heim's going to be here. They're going to have a decision to make. Do they make a trade? Like, is Josh Young still here or not? Evan Carter, his health moving forward. So I think the lineup's going to look drastically different, and I don't know that it's necessarily just going to be like the Little Rascals that are going to be filling those spots.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, they're going to be budget signings one way or the other. And in some ways, I don't blame Ray Davis because, you know, post-championship, the moves that they've tried to make have not really panned out. So we'll hope for the best. And we need to get these draft picks and these prospect rankings headed in the right direction. Coach Shoddy wrapping up his day after presser on CeeDee Lamb's ankle. He's going to miss some time. Probably unlikely he'll play this week, but we'll see. I think that's huge. I don't think they win a game without CeeDee Lamb. Their path to victory with this bad of defense is to be able to outscore the opposition. I don't think they can even beat the Jets and Panthers.
Yeah, it'll be this week will be especially tough.
Yeah,
but you know, I could say it really does. It's going to come down to your quarterback, and he's played at a very, very high level, and I think yesterday the numbers probably could have even been better yesterday. It probably could have been thought about and battled for a win there. You know, there was just too much of when they really, against the Giants, they made every clutch play they had to make to win that game. When they had to make some clutch plays yesterday, they didn't deliver. They didn't get a block when they needed it. They got a one-handed catch in the end zone, but guy got two hands on the ball and it ended up being an interception. You know, they just did not, and give the Bears some credit. I mean, the Bears did what they had to do to win the game, but they're just going to have to. When we talk about it, Cincinnati, the way they played, a 9-8 team, that's maybe what your football team is. That's kind of, if they're going to win games, it's going to have to be with their ability to put a lot of points on the board and then hope that they could get a stop or two down the road.
I guess there's one path with Deron Bland coming back. At least you will have a quality corner. Shoddy saying he's doing good and think he's trending to play against the Packers. How much does Deron Bland help this defense?
I think it absolutely helps when you have, you know, that's, like I say, the thing that worries me is just, and I know Diggs didn't have any training camp at all, but man, he's looking like a guy right now that's playing like he didn't have training camp.
And has had two massive knee injuries.
Yeah, and so his level of play just does not seem like where it needs to be. Now, you take, you know, maybe you like Stewart enough to where that takes, so it's Diggs, Stewart, Bland, that maybe take Elam off the field, you know, or take who off, take, heck, if you feel like, and I don't know if they would take Diggs off the field, but maybe you could play him a lot less. They've been having to play him quite a bit, and
looks like he's given up four or five touchdowns. I would just say, like, until further notice, I think the injuries have effectively ended Trayvon Diggs' status as anything resembling a good corner. You know, and we are already talking about a guy
like
that
one. Yeah.
He didn't have good short area quickness, change of direction quickness. It was top end makeup speed that sort of defined Trayvon Diggs as a fast guy. Now you take that away. What's he given up already through three games? Is he four touchdowns, five touchdowns? It's just way too much with Trayvon Diggs. So you would need him to quickly shake off whatever rust is in there. And I think it's a lot. I don't think he's 80% of the guy that he was a couple of years ago. And you need Deron Bland to step in there and be pretty much a shutdown number one guy, because you're not going to get any help from the edge unless, I guess, Jadeveon Clowney comes in here.
Clowney might have to show up. Man, it would be so nice if they could find a way to get, you know, I mean, it's impossible right now. We'll just see what happens with Overshown.
Okay, Shoddy on what's going to come for the defense. He says changes are coming. Some scheme and some might be personnel. One change will be the entire defense meeting together to get the communication right. Do you have any belief the defense can be significantly better?
In 1 week's time or as the season goes on?
As the season goes on,
it's hard to imagine it could get worse. And, of course, getting a guy like Bland back will help. And maybe you get some growth from your young pass rushers. Maybe, you know, in terms of Ezeraku in particular, maybe Clowney can be a little bit of a difference maker for you in terms of pass rush stuff. But by and large, I don't see this. This is not a complicated defense. These guys can't get this down. I just think you have so many bad players.
Yeah.
And it's a difficult thing to remedy. It could get a little better, but you're talking about for the rest of the season watching probably the worst secondary in football.
Yeah, and it's going to continue to be a poor secondary until they get maybe some guys out there, but also like that pass rush. That is just it's so bad. It's just so difficult to watch when you know when teams are just they're not even doubling your edges. They're doubling your tackles.
And these are not good offensive lines.
Yeah.
This is the Giants and the Bears. Two offensive lines that no one speaks about when they're talking about good offensive line play. This is awful.
Yeah,
and you can look at Matt Eberflus all you want, and to some extent, I definitely do. He's got his hand in this, but the Joneses built this defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They are the ones that have to take all the blame for this. Yeah, they put together an awful defense.
They haven't drafted well, and they don't have depth right now.
And the Bears' defense is atrocious. You only scored 17 points against them.
Yeah, and there's that, too.
Three of their best five players.
Score 14 or score 17?
14.
14 points. Yeah, 14 points.
That's the reason why that's why I think they lost that game yesterday. I don't think it was the defense because we knew how poorly this defense had played against the Giants, and the Bears, I thought, were a better team than what the Giants were when it came to, you know, offensive football and stuff like that with the skill and stuff. But I'm not surprised. I think the offense's inability to really, they ran the ball fine, but they missed on some opportunities in that game. The turnovers were awful. And the fact when they had to punt a couple of times, they punt and what happens? You know, you get right before the half, you punt and they drive the ball on. You should be trying to win the middle eight. You can't even do that.
That was the amazing thing. It was like they did it in so many different ways. If we need to go 2-minute offense and hum down the field real quick, bang, we can do it. If we want to just make this thing, just slow things down, run the ball on you, eat up an entire quarter basically and score on you that way, fine. If we want to score in like two plays or one play, we can do that too. It's just like whatever the Bears wanted, they can have it versus this season.
There was no offensive players have plays of 10 or more yards. Seven different offensive players. So, I'm with you. You knew the defense was going to be bad, but the defense is a reason why you lost yesterday. They're a huge reason why. I mean, you needed the offense to have a chance to win, but
who was more compromised yesterday?
That defense is terrible.
The Bears' defense or your defense?
The Bears.
Yeah, the Bears' defense problem with the
more starters.
That's the problem. Zach, listen, I love you, man, but be honest with yourself.
Well, I'm being honest with myself. I don't know how you can say the defense wasn't a big reason why they lost the game.
They
plays, Brian, of 65, 35, 41, 31.
What did your offense do?
Your logic. I'm not saying the offense isn't a reason. They both are.
I'm just telling you that your offense had to go out there and win that game yesterday.
Yeah, they did.
And against a compromised defense, did absolutely nothing.
And I don't know for the life of me why they can continue to throw the ball at Tyreek Stevenson. Makes absolutely no sense. I agree with you 100%. Yeah. But that defense was absolutely horrible. And the fact that they went up against backup, like a tackle who had been the worst in the game, had just given up multiple sacks, led the league in pressures, and Braxton Jones, they don't get a single pressure against him. Darnell Wright gets hurt. Like, it's stunning to me just how bad Dante Fowler, who's been a good player in this league, looks.
Sure.
How bad Sam Williams, who we've seen be a capable pass rusher in this league, looks. Marshawn Neyland, who looked good in week one, looks like a totally different player through two games. Like, that stuff is just horrible.
It's contagious how bad this pass rush has become, and it's a big surprise to me that all these second-round picks they've invested over the last 4 years on the defensive line are just not coming together. And ultimately, that's what you point the finger at. For as much credit as the Cowboys scouts and front office got from about 2010 to 2019 picking players, they've hit kind of a rough patch, and until that is remedied, I think we're in for more of the same. Maybe the lowest era of Cowboys football this century is on the horizon, and that is very depressing right now. I don't know how they're going to get out of this. There's no light at the end of the tunnel as we get ready for football's finest. Chief, where are you taking it?
The saddest stats of week three in the NFL, plus John Gruden's Nightsy Players of the Week, next in the Nation.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.